Today is November 23rd, 2016, and this is episode number 386 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am told that I am literally dreamy to get the full story on anything on this podcast. You can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@MacObserver.com.
You are literally dreamy.
Yeah, apparently I was in someone's dream last night.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what that dream was. It actually could have been a nightmare. I didn't get any details.
But you know, we have details, we're going to assume that it was an exciting dream in a positive way.
Literally dreamy.
That's pretty awesome.
We're going to go with that. Yeah. Right, what are you saying?
Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Does it sound good? Hey, dude, welcome back.
Oh, hey, thanks.
You were gone for like 2 weeks. We had John Keaton here just tearing crap up.
Yeah, I know. I can see the wallpaper's all shredded now. And looks like a chair was thrown through the window.
And that's just, that was when he was in a good mood.
You know, I love John dearly, and at the same time, well, it's because I love him dearly, I am always worried that one of these days he's going to be so upset about something that his eyes are going to explode, blood's going to spray on the wall, and he's going to drop dead in his tracks.
Listen, folks, if you listen to John and you think he's awesome, and he is, you should just see him in this political iMessage group chat that we've got going on. Oh my!
I'm surprised your phone hasn't literally exploded.
I mean, you see him just in the tech group.
Yeah, and the tech group's enough for me. And when he invited me to be in the political group, I politely declined.
Yeah, no, you made a good choice. you made a good choice there. That was actually one of your better life decisions.
Thank you.
I would like to point out that I, however, made a different choice. Well, but there is good news. There is good news. He enjoyed, like, you know, making him do two podcasts back to back.
Uh huh.
And the feedback he got from folks makes him very interested in doing a sort of Beyond Tech podcast with me.
Oh, that's great.
We're talking about doing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think that'll be a lot of fun, and it's going to be great cathartic therapy for John. May start drinking.
I may need therapy after that. Like my suggestion to call it, by the way, was Geeks, Nerds, and Asshats. That's what I wanted to call our podcast, but I don't think we're going to go with that.
Yeah, and you could call your show Gina for short.
All right, let's listen. 2016. It's 2016.
Yeah,
hasn't been the best year, right? I mean, like all year.
Oh, holy, it's bad years, Batman.
Yeah, right. I mean, like you know, we've had do-over jokes all year. Not just you and I, mind you. I mean, like I've seen them all over the place. Like, you know, can we have 2016 back again? Can we get a do-over in 2016? Or, you know, like, you know, when this is over, can we all just forget about it? And for a lot of reasons, not just politics, but because there was just a lot of...
We've lost a lot of really talented people this year.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. A lot of, talented people definitely die every year, but it seems like we definitely lost some big presences.
Yeah. And you're right. It's been a weird political year.
Yeah, it was a very weird political year. And then there was the election itself. And, you know, here's the thing though. Here's the weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone was thinking that 2016 has been a particularly good year for Apple. Right? I doubt many people were.
I don't think people are saying Apple knocked it out of the ballpark this year.
Yeah. But our own Adam Christensen, he's Adam Christensen at Madcast, but he also works for us at TMO.
Because he's awesome.
Because he is an amazing human being. he was thinking about stuff, and he put together a list of everything that Apple released in 2015 and everything Apple released in 2016. And mm-hmm. Apple released 13 products in 2016. 13 products.
Okay, so that is slightly more than one a month. So that sounds kind of good to me.
Well, in 2015, Apple released 23 new products.
So they released roughly double the number of products last year. So it's like two a month versus one a month. Now, Mr. Pedantic Pants, we're gonna go with loosey goosey math today. And what I'm doing is pushing your comfort envelope because I'm helping you become a better person.
It's not twice as much. It's definitely not twice as much. And as a matter of fact, so it would have been 14 if Apple had actually shipped the AirPods. But one of its products that it announced, it didn't ship. So this is 13 products that it shipped. And we're also not counting the book.
And the hoard of dongles.
And we're also not counting the hoard of dongles from either year.
Right. And there is no book to count from last year. So, right. So and Brian, just so you know, I'm going to keep with the, well, roughly double last year thing, because I know it's just under your skin.
Yeah, you do that. You just keep doing that work. And
I want you to remember why you missed me for over the past 2 weeks. And I can sum it up in two words: roughly double.
So now I have an article that's going to be going up. It'll be going up probably before you listen to this podcast for our listeners. For almost all listeners who have this podcast, the article will already be up. So I have a link in the show notes. So you can go look at the list, but what we're counting here is we're counting each operating system, mm-hmm. major operating system update, not counting the point updates.
Right.
We're counting, for instance, in 2016, I've got, and this to me is being very generous. There's, you know, Mac Pro 15 inch with the touch bar, Mac Pro 13 inch with the touch bar, but then also Mac Pro without the touch bar. The 13 inch without the touch bar.
I know you're being generous, but I think you're also being appropriate. And because of the way Apple has kind of divvied up their laptop line.
Right. And in addition to that, we've got, you know, we're counting iMac 27 inch mid 2015 and then iMac 27 inch late 2015, as well as iMac 21.5 inch. Late 2015, right? So those are also counted individually. Mm-hmm. And we counted the different Mac Pros that were released in mid and early. You know, the 15-inch and 13-inch MacBook Pro from 2015 are both counted separately. We're counting Siri Remote as a separate product, which is probably being generous. That was 2015. We're counting the iPhone models, the different iPhone sizes, you know, 6S and 6S Plus and SE. Those are all counted separately. And we're counting even the smart keyboard and the Apple Pencil for iPad Pro. We're counting those separately. So you can see the list.
That's actually appropriate that you're counting those
separately. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, for those listeners who can't actually see the list, I just wanted to explain what we were doing there.
Okay.
And 13 products for the world's most valuable company is, I'm going to quote from myself. Listen, there's just no way around this. That list is depressing. Apple has all of the resources, more resources than any company on the planet, more resources than many governments. And this is the best that Apple could do. Skipping ahead, 13 new products in a year for the world's most valuable company is depressing. Worse, it's boring.
So basically what you're saying is Apple has so many resources, they have two One Rings.
Two what?
One Rings. One ring to rule them all.
Two, they could. They could make one ring. Jeez,
tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
So So
yeah, I'm not going to give you that one.
Okay. So what you're saying is that when you look at all the resources, they have roughly double.
Yes, they have. Okay. Exactly. Two One Rings. That's awesome. And that's funny. Because now I actually get it. I'm sorry. That was all me. That was totally me.
That's okay. Our listeners, they got it the first time because that's how cool they are.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Also, I fully expect that our listeners are going to start randomly using roughly double in tweets to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, they should.
Yeah. Just, you know, just do it, people. Whenever you're talking about something with Brian, let him know it's roughly double. He loves that.
Totally love that.
So you really did miss me, didn't you?
How many of our listeners are old enough to remember what a tape sounds like when it rewinds?
Oh, roughly double.
I mean, like, that really is that sound effect they do is completely without context for younger people.
Well, you know, there's also the thing that you see in some movies now where you have the person standing there at the beginning of the movie and they're in the awkward situation. The needle drags across the record and they go, "Yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I ended up in this situation."
Right.
How many kids these days get what the record drag across the needle or the needle drag across the record really is?
That is a good question too. Let us know, by the way. If you have no context for those things, shoot us a note.
I'm assuming based on our user base, it's roughly double.
Stop it. @ContextMachine on Twitter. Send us a note. Do you have any reference to those? Anyway, so it's just. I mean, so and here's the thing, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I make this point in my piece too. I don't have a problem with Tim Cook. I actually think that Tim Cook is a great CEO for Apple. I also think that Tim has his eye on the future. I know that Apple is working on disruptive products. Mm-hmm. They're going to come out at some time in the future. Apple Car might be one if it comes to market. Apple's going to end up doing something in the car space that's going to be bigger than what Apple is doing now in the car space. Whether or not it's its own car remains to be seen. But Apple's working on it, at the very least. We know that Apple has this big team working on augmented reality.
Right.
Right. And as a matter of fact, I think that Apple's going to end up playing a role in the HUD space on cars, whether or not Apple does its own car. I think that there are other products that Apple is working on that we don't even know about. I'm not worried about Apple's ability to continue to innovate in the future. What I'm worried about at this point is Apple's ability to iterate its existing product lines. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, like, all of Apple's development times, the lifespan cycles for its products, they're all getting longer. And Apple has all of the resources. They can do anything that they want to. They can do anything that they want to. There is no reason for us not to have a new Mac Pro every year. There is no reason to go as long as we're going between iMacs, between Mac Minis, between whatever. You know, if Apple wants to have a vanity display to go with its awesome Mac Pros, LOL, Apple can do it.
They can.
You know?
Okay, so I think part of the problem we're having right now is that, and keep in mind I'm speculating here, I think Apple is in a really big transition phase right now. And so some products are going longer than we're comfortable with between updates. Some products, we're not even sure if they're going to get updated ever again. And so we have that uncertainty. And then you couple that with Apple's long-standing problem, which is that they will not communicate with their users what they are doing. So we don't know the roadmap. And all we really know is that we went a really long time before we got a new MacBook Pro.
Okay. Let's talk about that in a second.
Okay.
The lack of a roadmap was a competitive advantage for Apple for a long time.
Now, I don't think it is played anymore.
It played hell with the enterprise space because the enterprise likes to know what's coming on. More importantly, vice presidents and CTOs, they love to feel like they're on the inside and know what a company's going to do ahead of time. And Apple has never played that game. Well, rephrase that. Since Steve came back, including after Steve died, mm-hmm. Apple has not played the game.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't care about your CTO. Apple does not care about your CTO. You can go screw yourself if you want to know what Apple's going to do. Now, that's fantastic when you're iterating on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And again, I'm not talking about Apple's ability to come out with new products, right? I count Apple Watch as a new product. I look at the time between iPod and iPhone, and I look at the time between iPhone and iPad, and I don't care how long it takes Apple to release the next new product as long as it's good to go when it's released. I'm not worried about the new products. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about iterating the current products. When you're iterating on a regular basis, that lack of a roadmap, that lack of public disclosure can work in your favor because it's part of that Apple hype machine where Apple will get hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars in any given year in free advertising from all the coverage that they get for what they're doing.
And now they're getting all that coverage for what they're not doing.
Yeah. When you're not iterating, that lack of a roadmap, that lack of people knowing what to expect, that starts playing against you. And I think that's what we're seeing now. And it's not just with us. It's not just with the blogosphere or the echo chamber or even the fanboys. It's everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And it's a problem because it's eroding the consumer's trust in Apple.
Now, we were talking about John Key.
Uh-huh.
And his argument that he's been making, he was definitely ahead of me on this. His idea is that Apple has failed to scale, and that Apple, and his solution for that is effectively for Apple to that saying that Apple has gotten too big to only have the A-team on stuff. And I don't mean like Mr. T. I'm talking about A players, right? That was Steve Jobs thing. And this is an interesting thing. This is absolutely an interesting aspect of this because Steve was manic about weeding out B team players. Steve's philosophy was that the B team brings down the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
So he was ruthless about getting rid of those B team people. That's what those elevator firings were about. It's not because Steve is a jerk. Steve looks like a jerk because he will trust his gut and instantly remove anyone that he thinks is, a bozo, as Steve liked to once upon a time used to say. Mm-hmm. And it makes him look like a jerk, but he's not doing it because he's a jerk. He's actually there was a point to why he was doing it, which is to get rid of the B team people. Because if you only have A team people, you can do these really, if you only have A players, you can do these really amazing things. So, but the problem now is that there are only so many A players to go around, and the executive team has not, doubled or tripled in size. Certainly not that inner circle, right, of top advisors, Tim Cook's lieutenants. And there's only so many things that they can fiddle with. And Keith's solution is to let B-team people take care of the iterative things, like designing new Macs.
Okay.
Because there's not a whole lot of reinventing the wheel wheel, even, right? There's not a whole lot of reinventing the wheel when it comes to computers at this point, despite the touch bar. Mm-hmm. You know, the touch bar is a rare, significant innovation in the computer space. And one could argue, of course, that touchscreens are also a rare innovation. One could definitely argue that. But and I'm kind of torn on this. I'm kind of torn on this point because if Steve was right, and you should never let the B team take root in your company, well, then it actually makes no sense to actually start letting B team people take care of the iterative designs. But I don't like what's happening now. I don't like this 13 new products in 2016. 13 new products, and we're not going to get another. There's not going to be another product now. So AirPods might ship.
No, they won't. AirPods are not shipping this year. I would be stunned.
But they could. It's only mid-November. It's actually late November.
I'm thinking early February.
Yeah, probably. But they could. But my point is, 13 new products in 2016 it's depressing and it's boring. It's boring. There's nothing exciting about a company, Apple size, releasing 13 new products. There's nothing exciting about it. It is, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's, when Apple has had this much faster clip for their product releases, and then we have a year like this where suddenly it averages out to one-ish a month, it's really noticeable.
Well, yeah, and I don't like saying that. Part of my problem is I don't like saying one-ish a month because, you know, the reality is it's more like
three products
every 4 or 5 months.
Oh, yes.
You know, and... You know, once upon a time, we actually got new Macs every 9 months. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Like there would be iterative new designs or iterative new processor bumps every 9 months. And then that got turned into a fairly consistent once a year kind of schedule. Mm-hmm. But that has slipped.
All right. So I have a little bit of speculation on why that may be, and just to be clear, I'm not trying to justify what Apple's doing, but my speculation is that Apple can't get the components that they want that are significantly better than what they had before to make it worth their while to release a new updated model, say of an iMac. And I think that they have been watching their product release cycles close enough to know that if they are releasing once every 12 months, that they're releasing products faster than consumers will buy them.
Well, then why, when Apple has slowed down, have Mac sales been down year over year for the last 3 quarters?
That's a good question.
Answer me that. Riddle me that, sir.
Yeah, well,
I don't buy it. Listen, no one wants to go and plunk top money down for a computer that was announced 2 years ago.
I agree completely.
Or 3 years ago. And or 3.5 years ago.
Yes, and I think Apple is going too long between their product refreshes, regardless of what the consumer buying cycles are. It, you know, if it turns out that they find that every 18 months, on average, their customers are replacing whatever that specific product is. Okay, great. Then get yourself on an 18-month cycle and call it good. But be consistent. And
18 months is too long, man. MacBook Air was updated. Apple still sells the MacBook Air, and it was updated in March of 2015.
Yeah, and yes, and you're right. 18 months is too long, and that was a bad example. But, and,
you know, Mac Mini was updated in 2014, right? And of course, you know, got the nonsense with the Mac Pro.
Yeah, it's frustrating because,
and get this, in addition to these products that Apple hasn't released, Apple exited the display business and appears poised to be exiting the router business,
right?
So those are other products that aren't going to be released. I mean, it's like, Apple is doing less, and actually I'm borrowing this from John too. Apple is doing less and less with more and more. Okay. Look, first of all, I just completely derailed us. Secondly,
yes,
let's move on to a new topic.
Okay. And that has to be one of the slickest transitions you've ever done.
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that. All right. So you were at Mac Tech.
Mm-hmm. Last week.
Sal, how do you pronounce his last name?
Segoyan.
When Sal announced that he was no longer at Apple.
Yeah. And it, oh my God. It
and sucked. You spoke to him about it?
Yeah, I did. It, you know, when he made the announcement, because he was doing a presentation that was really cool, and he did this whole thing with automation, with the built-in voice command stuff that's been there for a long time. So mm-hmm. No Siri, and between that and Apple Script, tying stuff together, he spoke into his computer, edited a group of images, placed them into a brand new keynote document that he created with his voice, mm-hmm. and edited the slides, did the transitions, and then played it. It was amazing.
This was all courtesy of tools that are in OS X/macOS, courtesy of the team that he headed.
Yes. And so, yeah, so he shows off all this, and we're sitting back, and we are blown away, because it was so amazing to see what he did. And then he tells us that he doesn't work for Apple now. Apple eliminated his position as the manager of automation for the Mac, or automation services, something like that. And... Because they said it was a business decision, and so he doesn't work for Apple now. So we don't have anyone inside Apple that is championing automation services for the Mac.
No, what we know for sure is that we don't have Sal championing. Automation on the Mac with an Apple. That's the only thing we actually know for sure.
Okay, so what we know is that unless someone has quietly stepped up into the position or to take on the role of being the champion for those products, that there is no one in Apple championing that anymore, because Sal was the guy.
Right. Sal was the guy, and he's not there. That doesn't, my only point is that doesn't necessarily mean that there's no one championing it. In reality, who knows? Maybe we have the whole rest of the team stepping up because now they have to, because Sal's gone.
The team was pretty much Sal.
Nah, there was more. There was more than just him.
There weren't many more. He was working primarily with the people that were developing the other products. So, like, he would go to the keynote team and say, "Hey, you need to do this." And he'd go to the Pages team, "Hey, you need to do this." So there weren't very many people in Apple.
Okay, and there is certainly a chance that there is no one. I'm just saying that I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of saying there is no one, because we don't actually know that. The only thing we know for sure is that Sal's not there. It is possible, maybe even likely, that it's no one championing these technologies, but we don't actually know that. Yeah, I know that I'm being mostly pedantic, but I think that in this particular case, it is very well merited.
Mostly pedantic.
You know I'm right.
I know I'm going to let it slide, because I'll just take us down a crazy long rat hole. And so we will just have to silently agree that that I'm right, but you're going to be vocal with your opinion anyhow. So now that we've reached our understanding, we can move on.
Then we cut to Craig Federighi responding to a customer email that went public. So Craig's response went public, right? Craig's he responded to the customer. That customer shared that response with, 95 Mac?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he said...
He said that Apple intends to continue supporting...
I have the quote in front of me.
Oh, good. That'll be better than me paraphrasing.
Quote, we have every intent to continue our support for the great automation technologies in macOS Bang, i.e. exclamation point, unquote.
Okay. So that sounds reassuring. And yet I wrote a piece about that where I wasn't quite so reassured.
You know, I get that. So but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about the noise. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Apple was not intending to continue automation within macOS, I do not think that Mr. Federighi would have publicly responded in this manner.
I think we have a different Apple now, one that actually is responding more publicly to their users.
And, often and frequently, yes.
And I think in this case that they felt it was necessary to get some sort of statement out there. And so when they got an email from a user, that was a perfect opportunity to get a statement out there. And the wording of the statement...
But it's not a statement. It's a response. Statements are very, very different. If Apple wanted to release a statement, it would have released a statement to one of the sites that asked Apple about automation after the Sal news broke. Mm-hmm. And they would have just released an actual statement and it would have come from the PR department.
Right. And I think when those requests for statements were coming, that Apple wasn't yet realizing how big the reaction was to letting Sal go.
Okay, well, I have a theory.
Okay.
And it doesn't involve witches or bunnies or a dancing demon.
All right.
Can I have a high five from all my Buffy fans? Come on.
I
have a theory.
Okay. I'm still mildly intrigued. Continue.
That Apple may have wanted to terminate Sal. This is less about automation and it was more about Sal. Now, I say that. Everyone loves Sal. Everyone loves this man.
Oh yeah. That is absolutely true.
And that there could be any number of reasons why management didn't want Sal. I mean
he's been there or was there nearly 20 years.
Nearly 20 years.
It would have been 20 years in just a few weeks.
Right. When I say that, I'm not trying to denigrate Sal in any way whatsoever. But for Apple to say, for Craig Federighi to say, we have every intent to continue our support for the great automation technologies in macOS, and for Sal's position to have been eliminated, It seems to me that might have been more about Sal than about automation. I don't have any evidence for this, mind you. This is a gut reaction. And again, I am not bagging on Sal. And I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of torn about saying this publicly because I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying saying anything bad about Sal.
Yeah, and And I know you are not saying anything bad about Sal at all. And there are people that get fired from companies all the time who are really good people and don't deserve to get fired.
And one way that large companies in particular will terminate someone is by eliminating their position.
Right. And that's what they did here. His job just went away.
Yeah, it's not like there's a line from, I forget which movie it is. There's not a line from the movie like where you know, I didn't lose my job. Oh, it's a comedian, right? It's a stand-up routine. I didn't lose my job. Someone else is just doing it. Something along those lines, right? So my comment is more about like looking at it from the standpoint of the way corporations, including Apple, work.
All right, so I'm going to throw a little bit of information out here for you that
okay.
I don't think we've actually discussed before, like ever. So a few years ago, I was talking with one of the with a source that I have, and we were talking about automation on the Mac and the state of AppleScript and Sal wasn't there to be part of this conversation, so he couldn't speak for himself. And so this other person I was talking with said, the reason that we still have AppleScript on the Mac is because Sal has been really vocal about making sure it doesn't go away. And what they were telling me was that Apple was ready to dump AppleScript completely a few years ago and didn't because of Sal. So I think that Apple's interest in maintaining the automation services that macOS has is not a priority. And so they don't feel like they need a manager in charge of those services anymore. And I think that they will just let their system level scripting tools like AppleScript and Automator just kind of ride, and they'll continue to work for a while because Apple, and of course I'm building a whole tapestry from Craig Federighi's thread.
It's what we do.
So I think that Apple scripting services are going to just kind of ride along for a while, and Apple doesn't anticipate they're going to break because the parts of the operating system that would break them is kind of set where it is now, and so it should be fine for a while. But then one day we'll get a version of Mac OS that doesn't work right, and those things just kind of break, and then that's that. I don't think that's next year. I think that's several years down the road.
It is certainly possible. It is certainly possible. I don't think Craig would have bothered responding if Apple was that lackadaisical about it.
I don't know. It's a different Apple now. And I don't think...
Hold on. There's a difference between it being a different Apple that actually responds to people mm-hmm. and it being a different Apple that responds to people with lies. Are you saying you think that Apple is that different?
I don't think he's lying. They intend to let the support that they have continue to ride along until it doesn't. I don't think Craig was lying. I just think the words were chosen very carefully so as not to imply that Apple has plans to enhance or improve automation tools on the Mac. They're going to support what's there for a while, and that's it.
Well, time will tell. You could be right.
And I know I'm usually the really optimistic guy with all this stuff, but Luke Skywalker once said, I've got a bad feeling about this.
You met with Sal, mm-hmm. and you spoke to him in the aftermath of this, and that's, quite frankly, it's going to have a natural sort of, predilection towards, psychology. Right.
And I also have a history of some inside knowledge about what Apple has been doing over the years with their automation tools.
Yeah, fair enough. We will have to see.
We will.
I certainly hope those automation tools don't go away. I mean,
I hope I'm wrong.
To the people for whom that stuff is important, this is in fact just that. It's important.
It's critically important for the people that need it. I mean,
it's like the star ratings. You know, apparently a lot of people didn't use star ratings in iTunes, but for those of us who do, it's freaking important.
Right. The difference, though, with star ratings and the automation tools is that with star ratings gone, your business doesn't go away.
Right. That's true. This is another thing that could affect professionals. And it continues to be weird that Apple is just seeming to let professionals. I mean, if something happens to automation tools within macOS, it'll be yet another blow to the professional class that has used Apple's technologies and products. And it again drives me wild because Apple has, coming back to that same argument, Apple has all the resources. Mm-hmm. Apple could do whatever it wants. It can afford to have macOS be the premier desktop operating system in every area that it wants to be without having a significant impact on its profitability. Apple mm-hmm. can afford vanity projects. And Apple should have vanity projects. When those vanity projects have a halo effect, like professional users have on the rest of Apple's product line.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely.
Drives me nuts. It's like I'm like a pirate with.
I know. Every time you drop that that line, it reminds me of John Martellaro telling his joke and that proud look on his face when he gets to his punchline.
It's driving me nuts. Oh, all right. We don't know. It's interesting that you and I are looking at the same information and coming up with potentially different explanations. One of us is probably right,
and you will be sorely disappointed when you find out I am right.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem likely though, does it?
I know this one's going to be tough for you.
All right, another tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. All right,
Black Friday. Apple is doing Black Friday sale again this year.
Right, and for those of you that aren't familiar with what that means, there, Black Friday is a term that was coined in the United States, and it refers to the first shopping day after Thanksgiving. Hold on to your pedantic pants, Mr. Man, because I'm not done yet.
Okay, your setup is flawed, but go ahead.
I missed you too.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, so it's the first day where retail businesses are making all the money that they're making is now profit for the rest of the year.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's the day that they return to profitability.
Yeah, so that's so from that point forward.
Not the same thing.
Okay.
Not the same thing at all. I'm not being mostly banana. I'm being accurate. Anyway, Black Friday is when the retail industry traditionally returns to profitability. They're losing money the whole rest of the year, and now they're making money. But it's not that all revenues effectively turn into profit. It's that in general they return to profitability.
You know, every retail business that I worked in loved Black Friday, and every one of them said, "And this is the day where for the rest of the year, every dollar we make is profit."
Yeah, but I think that's because they don't know what they're talking about. Let's see here. Is the day following Thanksgiving been regarded as the beginning of the Christmas shopping center? Most major retailers, blah, blah, blah. I'm reading Wikipedia, by the way.
Oh, so it has to be true.
Exactly. Applied to the day of Thanksgiving in a shopping context suggests the term originated in Philadelphia, or was used to describe the heavy and disruptive pedestrian vehicle traffic. That's interesting.
That's fascinating.
It's used to 1961. 20 years later, the phrase became more widespread. A popular explanation became that this day represented the point in the year when retailers began to turn a profit, not where everything that they make for the rest of the year is profit.
Yeah, well,
thus going from being in the red to being in the black. Yeah. Mostly pedantic. So, but apparently that's not the actual origin of the term, but it has become what it
is. I'm taking great pleasure in the knowledge that what you thought was the origin isn't.
Fair enough. I will accept that and say that I deserve it.
And anyhow, so the real point here is that Black Friday has become an insane shopping frenzy day, like pathologically bad. And Apple has deals.
Right. So it's because so much of the U.S., although as a percentage, that might actually be declining, but whatever. So much of the U.S. actually has 4 days off. The day after Thanksgiving became a great day to put on sales, to get people shopping again for Christmas. And Apple has for many years, Apple did a Black Friday sale, the only time Apple ever discounted anything. Like most of the time when you're seeing an Apple product discounted somewhere, it's because a retailer decided to use the Apple product as a loss leader to get people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either taking a hit on it. They're taking a hit on that product to be able to offer it at a discount. But Apple itself only offered those discounts on Black Friday.
Right.
And last year, here's the interesting thing. Last year, Apple didn't do anything for Black Friday.
Oh, that's true.
For the first time in years. And you know, it was kind of a thing. Like, you know, we talked about it last year. We might even talk about it on the show. We probably talked about it on the show that it was interesting probably, that Apple
wasn't. I don't remember what I had for lunch, let alone what we talked about a year ago.
But yeah, I don't remember what I talked about on the last podcast. But I mean, the speculation last year is that Apple was doing so well that they didn't need to do a Black Friday sale. And so my question this year would be, is this a sign that Apple feels like it needs to goose sales?
And that's an interesting question. I mean, if last year they had done a Black Friday sale and this year they did a Black Friday sale, I'd be like, okay, and so here are the deals that Apple's offering this year. But since they didn't last year, now I'm wondering, did Apple feel that it was necessary to give us a sale to goose sales?
Here's another data point. Apple brought Black Friday to Australia for the first time. Black Friday isn't a thing in Australia because, you know, there's no Thanksgiving holiday. Black Friday isn't really a thing in most of the world, of course, outside of the U.S. But Apple has often. Really?
Yeah, Canada has a Thanksgiving. Theirs has already happened.
It's not the same weekend.
No. Their Thanksgiving was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's not the. I mean, okay. So, Apple has done Black Friday in other parts of the world, but in particular in Australia, there's this idea that this is when retailers return to profitability. That's just not a thing. And Apple is doing this for the very first time there. So again, is it because Apple feels like it needs to goose sales? You know, is the quarter not looking all that great?
I'm wondering. It's interesting. Apple has said that their pre-orders for the new MacBook Pro have been the best whatever. But they were also specific.
Yes. Best laptop.
Best laptop pre-orders. Which, I mean, that could mean all kinds of things.
Just one product, and the Mac doesn't represent the lion's share of Apple's products, of Apple's revenues.
Right.
Let alone the subset of laptops. I mean, that's
So whether or not MacBook Pro with Touch Bar continues to sell well, that doesn't necessarily mean that the quarter's going well enough that Apple, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. And I'm also aware that because I've been so pissy about, you know, this whole 13 products nonsense, mm-hmm. right? And I'm so pissy about the fact that Mac Pro is still for sale, and I'm pissy about the state of the Mac, right? I'm on guard against projecting that pissiness into interpreting something like not having a Black Friday sale last year and then doing it again this year as somehow a sign of a bad thing. I don't want to project my pissiness onto my analysis of what Apple's doing.
Sure, but it sure feels easy to assume that Apple needed to do something to help boost sales.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and for me, it goes back to they didn't do this last year.
Right. Now, for all we know, last year was a let's find out what happens if we don't do it. Let's just try it.
Sure.
And all the other years, you know, so now they were able to compare through the door traffic and in-store sales, right? They're able to compare that to all the prior years. Mm-hmm. And they may have simply decided, yeah, you know, no, we should definitely keep doing that. This may not be an issue of, oh, guys, you know, we got to do something to goose sales. It may not be that. It just may be like, well, we tried it last year. We didn't like the results. And we're going to go back to what we usually did, which is have a Black Friday sale.
Sure. That's totally possible.
Now, for the record, by the way, as of this recording, Apple has not announced what will be on sale. Apple doesn't typically, when it does a Black Friday sale, doesn't announce what those discounts will be until the day of.
Right. So we still have a whole day before we'll know.
Right. We're recording this on Wednesday. This will be this podcast will go live on and just like Wednesday afternoon Pacific time, and then we'll be off on Thursday and Friday, but we'll probably end up posting a whatever those deals actually are,
right? Because on we Friday. Just can't help ourselves.
Yep we love our listeners and our readers.
We do.
Yep. And it's I don't know, it's interesting. I think if okay, so here's another thing. When we say that Apple discounts, it's not like they're doing 50% off on anything. I mean, the discounts that Apple typically does are actually quite small and often much smaller than what other retailers are using Apple products to do. Am I saying that right?
Intent. Do you know what I meant? Yeah, I totally got your intent. But the way you said
our listeners did?
They're smart people. They'll parse it.
Apple's discounts are not usually the biggest discounts on Apple products in any given Black Friday.
Right.
But it is the only time of the year where you're going to get that. And I think what we see, because Apple is super smart and they actually work with the retailers, right? Mm-hmm. The products that Apple is discounting are not going to be the same products that you're going to see discounted as doorbusters at Walmart and Best Buy and Target.
Right. Now, what I'd be really surprised to see is an iPhone discount, because to the best of my knowledge, Apple has not done that.
Right. You'll find discounts on iPhones elsewhere, or what you'll find is you'll get a gift card of some sort mm-hmm. with the purchase of an iPhone. That we've seen that a lot from other retailers, but we've never seen Apple discount an iPhone. I'd kind of be surprised if Apple did. I would actually expect a discount or two or three on Beats products, mm-hmm. Apple Watch, mm-hmm. maybe a Mac, probably not the new Mac Pro,
MacBook Pro. They've done it on the iMac. Yeah, they'll do it on the new MacBook Pro. No, they've done discounts on iMacs in the past. As a matter of fact, that's how my dad purchased his last iMac, the one he's using now, waited for Apple's Black Friday sale and then ordered it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe Mac Mini, maybe cases.
Sure.
Right. That's that sort of thing. And maybe even a third party product or two. Maybe. Doubt it. I don't know if we've ever seen that.
You know, I want to say we have, but like I said, I don't remember what I had for lunch. So I'm not the most authoritative source on that.
Could be something like the smart cover, or smart keyboard, or Apple Pencil. You know, because that would actually encourage people to purchase iPads.
Uh-huh.
You could, for instance, you could get the 2015 iPad Pro parentheses, 12.9-inch closed parentheses that Apple introduced about 13, 14 months ago.
Yeah, I like to call it the iPad Pro 12.
Yeah, right. You could get one of those, maybe, you know, with your Apple Pencil or Apple keyboard. Anyway, so those are the things we're expecting to see. We won't know, obviously, for another couple of days. It's interesting.
It is.
It's interesting. I'm really intrigued. I'm intrigued that Apple's doing this for the first time in Australia. It's it's a thing.
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. All right. So listen, man, briefly, I am thankful for our listeners. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful for our listeners, and I'm thankful for our readers. And I'm thankful that our jobs exist and that we're able to do what we do and make a quote-unquote living. I kid. I am thankful that our jobs let us do what we do. What are you thankful for, Jeff?
I'm thankful that we have listeners that come back every week. I am thankful that I get to work with some of the most talented people in this whole space, and mm-hmm. that every one of the people I work with is stunningly cool. And listeners, you hear Brian and me go back and forth with our little ranty banter at each other, but holy crap, I just love this guy.
I love Jeff.
Awesome. So yeah,
there's one other thing I'm thankful for too.
And what's that?
I am thankful. I am thankful for someone in my life,
and
who's made me a happy lad.
You know what? I am so happy and excited for you to have someone in your life.
Thank you.
You know, okay. Here's one other thing that I'm thankful for. I need to work on making sure that I stop having hand spasms, but I am thankful that my dad rode home on an airplane the other day.
Yes.
Yes. He gave us a bit of a scare, and he's doing just fine now.
Hey, listen, listeners, if you want to tell us what you're thankful for, please do. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's Apple related. I don't care what it is. It's your family. Send us a note.
Yeah.
Love to hear it. I honestly would love to hear it. Shoot us a note at Context Machine on the Twitter mm-hmm. or acm@macobserver.com if you want to email us.
We do love hearing from you. Yeah. All right. I think now's where I should let my hand actually hit the button that makes the sound, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. I'm also thankful for John Keat for filling in for you. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that is all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed because we love you.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.